Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love. And this is the Mind His Business Show.
Right here on Gospel Music Omaha 100.3 FM. If you're in the Omaha, Nebraska area, or the Council Bluffs, Iowa area, or the Fort Calhoun, Nebraska area, you can hear us right on your FM dial in your car or on your radio in your house. Some of y'all got radios in your shower. Some of y'all got radios on your bedside table. Some of you got FM tuners that you stick into your cigarette lighter. Actually, they don't call them cigarette lighters anymore. They call them DC outlets in the car. You know, nobody smokes in cars anymore, so they don't call it. See, you remember that? And they used to have that little thing. You'd push it in, and then it would get real hot. And then you take it out, and then supposedly they were supposed to light the cigarettes with it because it'd be real hot. You remember those?
Nope.
You don't remember those?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
You do.
Well, that's for people who smoke. They push it in, and it would burn, and it would be hot. Some type of hot iron thing or something like that. Yeah. I'm not a smoker. So
they don't have those anymore. Remember when they used to have cigarettes?
Yes, they do.
Remember when they used to have ashtrays in the cars?
Yes, they still do. Girl, they still do.
Well, they still got the DC outlet, so you can plug in DC things.
The one with the cigarette lighter, and you put your DC outlet in it to make everything work.
Yeah, but if you put that little lighter thing in there back in the day, it would light up. But I think you put that in there today, it ain't going to do nothing.
No,
because it's a DC outlet.
No, it's not still a DC outlet. When we get back in the car, punch it. And lift it out and see what you get.
Well, my car is too new for that, so I can't speak to that. And I'm not a smoker, never have been.
Okay.
I can say for the whole world to know and just to let y'all know, I have never not one time smoked weed ever in my whole life. And I'm past 50. I ain't never messed with it.
No. When and I'm allergic to it, so I can't anyways. Lip get the swelling. Y'all already know. Go back in the chats and everything. You'll see. One time I was around it. I was just only around it. And my kids said, Mom. I said, who is it? What is it? And they were like, Mom, what? I said, I can smell it. They were like, Mom, how can you smell it? I said, don't you even.
Mama, you know how knowing.
Don't you even try it. I'll knock you out. Don't lie to Mama. And they said, okay. I said, see Mama's lip? And they said, it's blowing up. I said, exactly, because I'm allergic to that mess.
I remember one time, my one and only time I decided I was going to try to smoke a cigarette. This was when I was in junior high school. Nowadays, they call it middle school, but back then it was junior high school. It was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. That was junior high. And then senior high was 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And elementary school was K through 6. And personally, if you want Lady J's opinion, I think it should still be that way, because I think that there's a huge difference between 6th graders and 8th graders, and I don't think them innocent 6th graders need to be with fast 8th graders.
Come on now. You know they having sex, and I don't even, the parents and mamas is encouraging it, and the answer is no.
Not.
Yes, they are. Yes, they. Okay, you go ahead and be blind if you want to.
Okay, I'm going to be blind then.
And they adding weed and sex and all kinds of stuff to that, and the parents are promoting it, and yes, y'all are. Don't be sit up here trying to lie to us, because we know better.
Well, I think I'll say that there is more of an effort to sexualize our children at younger and younger ages.
That's called that's pedophilish, and that's Satan. That is Satan.
At the end of the day, they are trying to get the children. But one time I was this is my one and only time I was thinking about smoking a cigarette, and I was sitting waiting on the bus in junior high school, and someone had, you know how they smoke like half a cigarette and then they just throw it out on the ground because I guess they had to get on the bus or whatever. And so it was like this unfinished cigarette. It wasn't lit or nothing. And I looked at that cigarette and I said, I'm kind of curious. And so I thought about it. I thought about it some more. Now, first of all, I didn't have no matches because I had no intentions on doing nothing, right? But I thought about it, and the Holy Spirit, even back then, convicted me in my heart and said, don't do that. You don't need to do that.
Well,
don't even get down that road.
Well, he was helping you, because when I tried it, because I did try it, I saw Justina and Viva. Yes, I did. Justina and Viva. I saw them doing it. And I seen something in the ashtray. And so I picked it up to try to do it. And the seed or whatever it is stuck to my lip and burnt me. And before I can take a whiff, quiff, whatever it was. And that was the end for me. I was like, nope.
Well, that was the end of my cigarette smoking journey because the Holy Spirit convicted me. And it was like, you know what? Don't mess with that. Don't even get started.
See, at least you didn't get your lip burnt.
Well, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says flee temptation. And sometimes the best way to avoid or get out of temptation is just to don't even be around it. Just flee. Just flee. Just run. Before you even get involved, just run. You know how people say, oh, yeah, we was in the room and it was dark and one thing led to another. No, you knew what things was going to lead to the other things before you even closed the door late at night by yourself with that person.
I had a scenario like that because guess what? We were at a college thing and they were like, we going to go in and you going to be my girl, right? I said, I am. Okay. I went in there, honey, they shut them lights off and people started taking their clothes off. I said, nope. I got up and ran. I sure did. I took my little y'all know already, my little dark skin behind. I sure did and got out there. I was like, don't write a check that your behind can't cash. And I always remembered that, you know, that my mother used to say that to me. Don't write a check. Are you going to bounce it or are you going to cash it? I was like, nope, I'm out of here. And guess what? That was it for me. That could have been. But you know what? I could have gotten pregnant. I could have got a whole bunch of stuff because it was college folks up in there, Jackie. College folks.
That happened to me once. Shout out to my folks that went to college with me. Y'all might remember one night. I didn't go to too many parties. I went to a few, but this one in particular was a house party, and it was being thrown by the Q's, the Omegas.
Oh, please don't remind me of that.
Boy, that party was thick, and I mean thick in a lot of different kind of ways, okay? That party was thick, and all of a sudden, folks started getting rowdy, clothes started coming off, and I was like, yeah, that's my exit. Y'all getting a little bit too raunchy for me, and I did not stay at that party at all. And so I fleed because I fled. I didn't get flued nowhere. I fleed. I fled.
Well, I have to admit, I got caught on that one. Let me tell you how I got caught, because I was trying to be like everybody else, and it was called a Q Dog party. Have you ever heard of a Q Dog party?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'll be frank with you, my and she can attest to this. Okay, she was like, "You can use my car and just drive my car up." So I drove the car up, and they thought that was my car. So of course they were like, "Ooh, I'm getting with her." And sure enough, that's what they was trying to do. They was trying to sex me up and sex me down. And they was taking off their clothes and doing all kinds of things. And I had to hurry up and get out of there. And I'm so glad that I did, because a lot of them ended up pregnant that night. For real. Even though they was trying to do whatever they was trying to do. But the main thing that I'm sorry about was because I didn't tell the truth. Mm. That was the difference when I found out what real lying was, because before I was just like, I just did it because, you know, but this time was like, no, you knew better. Mm. And that is when I knew what lying was. And I was like, you know what, I can't do this no more, because it seems like everybody else is getting away with it and I'm just not good at it. So I just need to stop.
Well, I was going to talk about political stuff, but I think I'm getting entertained by the conversation about fleeing temptation, because a lot of times we like to kind of be on that line, you know, how close can I get to the temptation and not actually fall, you know? oh, if this particular thing is a struggle area for me, let's say maybe your area is gambling. Well, I just go eat at the buffet, but I won't go into the area where the tables and the slots are. I just eat at the buffet. Knowing you got a strong temptation toward gambling, you probably should flee the whole casino. You know what I mean?
Now, that didn't happen for me because I actually, remember that time I won? I was just doing it just to play around with it.
Yeah, but you didn't have a habit with it, though. You didn't have a temptation
in
that area.
Yeah, but I still shouldn't have been trying, and then I wouldn't have won, and then I wouldn't have... Yeah, that's when I said, you know what? What may have not caught me in a different area, it could have caught me in this particular area. And I was like, nope, I got to stop that. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just play the pennies. Remember the penny slots? Just put the pennies in. I won on that, too. I was like, get out of here. Get out. And I, you know what? And I didn't ever gamble again. And then, you know, I got to tell on myself right now.
You're telling on yourself?
Yeah, I'm telling on myself right now. I was doing drinks, y'all. I was selling drinks. Yes, I was. I was selling alcohol. I was selling alcohol. Look, I was making all types of moonshine, peach flavored, all kinds of stuff. This was before it even became popular. I was doing that. Yes, I was. With whipped cream on top, Oreo cookie, all kinds of stuff. You know,
you got convicted in your
you
heart.
You know that I did, because I was like,
by
Jackie,
the Holy
can you
Spirit.
Help? I was like, Jackie, can you help me with this sale? And Jackie was like, nope, but you can't give me a little bit of that money, though.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes,
I was like,
did.
I ain't got nothing to do with it.
Oh, y'all, don't you believe that, honey, when it comes to that money. But I was like, yeah, I'm going to get out of debt. Look. I was like, I'm going to get out of debt. I sure was trying.
No, I'm going to tell you the craziest business idea you ever had, I thought.
That I had?
Yeah.
What? Tell one that you had.
No, because all mine is good ideas. Yours is crazy.
Let me tell
you your crazy idea.
Okay, which one is this one? Because I've had a lot of crazy.
Y'all know that Love is the best cosmetologist and barber in the state of Nebraska.
Jackie.
She's a code. There's a reason why they used to call her the Barber Beast.
Jackie, I love her so
much. Well, so we decided, or she decided, because look, I ain't taking no credit for this idea. It was all your idea.
Which one?
You decided that you was going to make people's carpets match the drapes. You was going to do the ladyscaping and the manscaping.
Oh, when I was going to put designs in the hair down in their private areas. Oh, why did you do that to me? And guess what? It's a popular thing now.
It's popular now.
It's so
you probably
popular.
Would have made a whole bunch of money, but I was like, love, I can't get with you,
you
on that one.
You cannot be doing designs in people's private parts.
I said... First of all, that seemed a little unsanitary, a little unhygienic.
And I had the special gloves, y'all. I had the special gloves where no blood, no nothing. And I knew how to get the close cuts and everything without, and they were trusting me. And, oh, my goodness, I was running into earrings on the clit. Let's
tell
it like it is.
To be clear, you never actually did it. You wanted to do it.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Well, you didn't tell me about it.
Yes, I did.
Well, you didn't tell me about it. All I know.
But I stopped because I said, you know what? They were like, and I'm going to make sure to refer you. Oh, I was like, no.
Well, let me say it like this. You get a C for creativity because you were trying to be creative and think outside the box, make money. But every way to make money is not necessarily the way that the Holy Spirit might want you to make that money without regret and without remorse and without needing to repent later on.
No.
So, you know, we say that, yeah, because it's funny. It was, I mean, over 20 years ago. You know, water under the bridge now, but... The reason why I'm bringing that up is because there are a lot of things in life that seem like they're good ideas when you're in the midst of it. But it's very important that you listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you get that unction on the inside, that's like, you get that little, what I like to call a check in your spirit or like a, hold up, wait a minute. You know, you get that. You may not necessarily
put some cooking in it,
right? We may not necessarily recognize that all the time as the voice of God, but oftentimes it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is truly a gentleman. He will not force you or coerce you. He will not domineer you into making a decision. He will not manipulate you into that. That's the devil's way of running people, is by coercion and force and extortion and blackmail and manipulation and seduction and scheming. That's how Satan moves people from point A to point B. The Holy Spirit is, contrasting wise, very much so a gentleman. He will, the Bible says oftentimes things like he is described as a small, still voice. So you can't hear it if it's a bunch of noise going on in your life. Sometimes you got to slow down and be still and be quiet. It says in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. There's a small, still voice. He is a gentleman. He will prompt you. He will convict you. He will woo you. He will ignite your faith, even a small bit of faith. It will give you the encouragement of which way to go for any particular thing. But oftentimes you'll get that small, still voice, but Satan is loud. Satan is forceful. Satan is, you know, forget about all of that. You got to get this money. You got to get this, whatever it is. You know, you're feeling the pressure, so you got to make this choice because you feel like you don't have no more options. You know, that sort of thing. It's rush, rush, hurry, hurry. You know, do it, do it, do it. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit says, slow down and listen. I will tell you which way you need to go.
And some of you wonder what that still small voice is. And people say, how can I know the voice of the Holy Spirit? How can I know? Let me tell you something. There are times when you feel an intuition or an unction. Because people say, I've been trying to really hear, you know, I've been really trying to hear Jesus' voice. How can I hear Jesus' voice? No, there's something that's very, very strong that will stand out above everything else, even above Satan and his mess. It will stand out even above that. And that's how you know. That's how you know, because people think that the Holy Spirit can't drown King Jesus out. I mean, it can't drown Satan out. King Jesus will allow you to fill up and to understand and to know that he is God. Know is intimacy. It's K-N-O-W. And just the same know as Adam knew, K-N-E-W, knew his wife Eve, and they conceived. That means that they were intimate, and that means that the Holy Spirit is intimate, very intimate with you, and he will show you, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. And you have to, not some of the truth, oh, I think, I'm not quite sure. No, you will know that you know that you know. And a lot of times people believe that they can do weed and do all this kind of stuff, and you know, that's because, think about it, that's why a lot of people are on drugs. Do you know he will even cut through that? Helen Baylor was, she is an amazing woman, because Helen Baylor had a song called Can You Reach My Friend, and she was talking about how they were on drugs and they were doing cocaine and doing all kinds of just dastardly horrible things. And she said that literally the Holy Spirit, that God literally caused her to make a decision right then and there when she said she was dying. She said her body fluids were coming out, all that. And she said she knew the difference. And instantly she was set free and delivered. So it don't matter whatsoever state you're in. It doesn't matter, Ronnie. When King Jesus calls for you, you're going to know. You're going to know. And you're going to be able to make a decision that is a right decision. Not a I think decision. And believe it or not, he knows. Thank you for the hearts. He knows. Thank you for the thumbs up. We appreciate you so much. And I can tell you this emphatically. He will set you free. He will deliver you. And he will protect you. Isn't that right, Sister Katana? God will protect you, because you're down there with all those hurricanes and everything else. You talk to me and tell these people how God literally has protected you and kept you safe and from hurt, harm, and danger. And you know, people don't understand that life is more than just your physical clothes and physical stuff. When you're in those hurricanes and different things like that, you don't have time to think about all that stuff. You really don't. You only have time to think about your life. And I am so happy that you're still here and that you're still blessed And the same goes for any of you that are going through what you're going through. What really matters is King Jesus. He can protect you. He can keep you safe. And they were like all these hurricanes, and nobody seemed to be advertising. Did you know that, Jackie? Mm-hmm. Nobody even seemed to be talking about. They were only talking about the hurricanes and all that stuff in other places. They weren't talking about that in Florida and in all of these different places there were hurricanes going on right then and there. And Gatana, I know you can send a message up. Are y'all still wet? Or are y'all still, have y'all dried up yet? Has your lights been restored? Could you please let us know that? Because we are still yet praying. We have not given up. We are still yet fasting. And we want you to know that we love you, and we're thinking about you, and we're thinking about the babies. Y'all know they're not babies anymore, but they're your babies, and we love you. So please let us know, okay? Go ahead, Jackie.
That's a good word. So quickly here, I'm going to run through just a few quick verses about fleeing, but then I want to go back to the voice of God, because I want to finish the first thought and then go to the next thought. So here's a few verses about fleeing things. Sometimes just don't even be in the room. That's the easiest way to stay away from temptation, is to just don't entertain it in the first place. Mm-hmm. Here's one. John 10. Actually, let me put this on the screen for the video folks later on. Oh, it's not showing it. Okay, that's okay. I'll just read it. John 10:5, and a stranger they will not follow, but flee from him. Jesus is talking about listening to Jesus versus listening to Satan. And a stranger they will not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. See, when you're listening to the voice of Satan, it's like, stranger danger. But when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's like, this is right. This is the way. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Run. Don't even be in a room. Some of y'all men have got caught on that. You in a room with a closed door with a woman, she could say anything happened, and it's her word against yours. Don't find yourself in them situations where your reputation can be destroyed, things can be hung on you later on, and it's their word against yours. Mm-hmm. Flee fornication. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body or without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Here's one. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So that means flee from anything that would take your attention away from having God first, of having Christ first. And it doesn't matter what that thing is, if it's a person, if it's money, if it's fame, if it's power, if it's position, if it's wanting to keep up with the Joneses, if it's preserving your standing, your reputation. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's an actual religious idol, an actual horoscopes, astrologies, tarot cards. It doesn't matter what it is. Flee from idolatry. Flee from anything that would exalt itself in your life and in your mindset more highly than the Most High God.
A lot of people are into reading those tarot cards and into those signs and stuff. And, I'm a Capricorn or I'm a Cancer. Listen, I know y'all be reading those horoscopes, because I used to a long time ago. Even though I don't even believe it, I'm like, let me see what it's got to say. Nope. Don't get into a habit of that, because that's witchcraft and that's idolatry. And I know you're thinking, oh, that can't be. Yes, it is, because you're looking for someone to tell you something, to prophesy or prophesy to you about something. And so that's not of God either, and that is idolatrous. And that's another thing. We should not be dibbling and dabbling in any type of witchcraft.
All right. The next one is 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 11. But they that will be rich will be rich, have a strong desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition means to be lost. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after. They have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So if you love money and want to be rich so much, it can create a root inside of you that can produce the fruit of evil. And if you're coveting after that money more than you're coveting after God, it can cause you to err from the faith. That this is talking to people who are in the faith. This is not talking about unsaved people here. He's talking to believers when he's writing this. So he's saying that even those of us who are people of faith, if we don't guard ourselves against the placing money above placing God, and we're coveting after and seeking after that money more than we're seeking after God, is saying if you're coveting after that, it can cause you to err from the faith and pierce yourself through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things.
And I've never seen this, but it seems like there's a whole lot of people that have been going after riches, Jackie. They've been going after gold. They've been going after all kinds of stuff. And meanwhile, their soul is perishing. I've been seeing this like I've never seen this before. They know they make a lot of money, but they yet want more money to just store it up. They're not even trying to, you know, some people want to take any money that they make and they want to start business and move forward and try to, but they're not hoarding. Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
There's a difference between using money as the tool versus coveting after money for the sake of wanting to be rich and to lord it over others.
Correct.
And there's a big difference. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't work a job, start a business, sell things in the marketplace. There's nothing in the Bible that says you should not do that. There are many, many wealthy people in the scripture. Job was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. Lot was wealthy. All these people were wealthy. They weren't
rich,
broke down,
they
destitute,
were
busted.
They weren't just wealthy. They were, King Solomon was rich.
That wasn't their state in life. Okay, so this is not about what, you know, saying that rich, being a rich person is evil or having wealth is evil. This is not that. He's talking about the love of money and coveting after that money more than God. Like, for example, if you were to, let's say you were courted by a political candidate and they said, we will donate money to your church's fund if you allow us to come and speak to your congregation on Sunday. But let's say that there are some things in that political candidate's platform that are absolutely against something in the Bible. Okay, I'm speaking as generically as possible here. So let's say that their political platform, you know, what they say they're going to do, has elements inside of it that you disagree with as a Christian because you know the Bible and you know that the Word has a stance against this particular issue or issues. But if they make the dollar amount attractive enough that you say, well, I'll take that money and let them speak to my congregation, even though as a believer I should be opposed to this particular aspect of their platform, now you have erred because you have not protected the flock, but you wanted the money. So something like that. It can be much more subtle. In other words, it's not just, you know, it's not like the movies where they say, oh, you know, I got to go and, you know, get on this stripper pole or get on this corner and sell these drugs because I got to feed my baby. You know, that's TV. Real life is a lot more nuanced. Now, for some of us, we have been faced with those particular types of temptations. For most of us, that's not our particular temptation or struggle. But ours is a lot more subtle. Those compromising decisions that we have to make to say, are we going to take the money or not? We had to face that with the radio station. We had some opportunities to get some money, and it was not a little bit of money. It was a lot of money in order to promote a certain medical protocol. And we
said no.
We said, I'm not going to run. We said, I'm not going to run those ads on the radio station. We're not going to influence our listeners to take this experimental medical protocol because there's not enough known about it and it could be harmful. And furthermore, the more research we went into these particular medical protocols, the more we discovered that it was definitely not only potentially harmful to lots and lots of people, but there were also elements of it that we felt were completely unbiblical and unscriptural. So for that reason, we were offered a lot of money to run ads in support of this particular...
of the Jimmy Jam, and we said nope.
This particular thing. And we said no, because we said there is no amount of money that would make it worth it for us to steer the flock into something that could be harmful. And that was one of those decisions we had to make. And mm-hmm. we needed the money. I mean, it was tight. Mm-hmm. It was tight during that period of time. Everybody knows a lot of businesses closed during then. A lot of things changed. And we certainly could have used that money. But we said to God be the glory. And there's no amount of money that we will take to put something out for the people that we don't know enough about that could be harmful spiritually as well as physically. So,
and believe me, it could be really hard, because being a barber, all of you know, being a barber and having to cut people's hair and do all those different things, it presented a problem for me, to the point where I said, I don't care if I don't ever barber again, because I don't want to accidentally nick myself, hurt myself, and then something gets inside of me or something that I don't like and I don't know about, and it just is what it is. And so I confronted everybody, get out of my face with it. Don't try to make me do it. I'm not going to do it. And why are you asking me to do it? Why don't you do it yourself? Go to school, do whatever it is. I'm not doing it. And to this day, I'm still sticking by it. I'm not doing that Jimmy Jam Terry Lewis. I'm not.
Okay.
Just
to round out that verse, 1 Timothy 6:11, but you, O man of God, flee these things instead and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, which is another form of humility, strength under grace. A couple more verses here just quickly, and then I want to get to the one I'm heading to. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. A lot of folks out there kind of getting to be my age and up, and you say, yeah, man, I did some crazy stuff when I was young. I was young and dumb, and I made some bad choices when I was young. Well, guess what? The scripture says flee youthful lusts. The stuff that you did that wasn't smart, and you know what it was. You know what those things were. Don't keep doing them. You're supposed to learn from your mistakes and grow from them. Don't keep repeating them. You're supposed to flee from youthful lust. If you see that thing tripped you up back in the day, don't go back down the same path that got you tripped up. Learn from it. That life is all about learning. The scripture talks about going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, going from milk to meat, growing in maturity. Life is a continual progression as we are going through this walk of faith with God. We are supposed to be growing and maturing in our faith. And part of that is to let go of those things that used to trip you up. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you, to shine the light there, to say, yeah, you don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe you did that when you were young. Maybe you enjoyed it, because it is true. Proverbs says sin does taste sweet for a season, but the end thereof is bitterness. I have to pull that verse up.
The one I read from, it says, and the end of it is thereof is death.
I'll have to pull that verse up, too, before we leave today. Mm-hmm. But if you know that something has tripped you up multiple times, and the Holy Spirit is showing a light on that to say, you know, you don't need that anymore. And it could be anything. It could be sexual. It could be vices. It could be habits. It could be personality patterns that you've been in since you were a child that you no longer need. It could be protection mechanisms from things that traumatize you as a child. But now that you're an adult, you have more perspective, you can let some of those things go, because yes, you were reacting in survival mode as a child, but now that you're an adult, you have more agency and more control over what's going on in your life. And so now you can let go of of those patterns that maybe holding you back in your relationships or holding you back in life.
Oh yeah, because I can think of how many men that I wanted to get down to the ground, okay? I mean, bone chicka wong wong, and you know what? It was like, move on. Move on. But I want him. No. But I want him. I want him, King Jesus. I want him. And he likes me, and I like him too. Remember that piece of paper?
Yep.
Right, if you like a person, yes or no. Remember that?
Yep.
And you know what?
Do you like me? Right. Check yes or no. Did you play MASH when you were a kid? You remember that game MASH? Man. And you draw a circle with a spiral and you have M-A-S-H on there.
No, I had the one where you go like this with the thing, it opens and closes and you have to tell them to pick which one.
And then it would tell you how many kids you was going to have and who you were going to marry.
Man, there were only a few guys that I had the hots for. I'm telling you, I wanted them and King Jesus said, move on. But I want him. I want to taste his lips. Nope. And y'all know who y'all are on there. Y'all know.
Okay, let's see. Finishing that verse out, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Yes.
See, you got a lot of people out there calling on the Lord, but their heart's not pure. They saying the right words. They saying they love God, but their heart's not pure. And you can tell it through their actions when they're not in a Christian environment, so to speak, in a church environment or with church folks. You know how they be code switching? You know, you got folks that code switch. Now, there's a difference between code switching because you're understanding your audience versus code switching because you're trying to make yourself be a different person depending on your environment. That's two different things.
Right.
Like, for example, my speech patterns on this radio show are kind of relaxed. You know, I might throw an ain't in there, or I might speak a little bit of Ebonics. You know, half my family is black, and when we get casual, we can be casual. But when I'm in my professional environment at work, I do speak differently.
Remember, one day she was actually on the phone, and I didn't know who she was. I was in another room, and I heard her talking, but I didn't know it was her. So I went in and said, "Who in the house is up in here?" I went up there; it was you.
I don't speak differently as far as I'm not a different person, but I might use less slang. Let's put it that way.
Jackie, I didn't know you were black when I heard you. I said, who is that?
I may use more formal language in a professional environment. That's not the kind of code switching I'm talking about, because most of us do that, right?
You even said some words I had to look up in the dictionary.
If you're in a professional environment or an academic environment, you're going to speak according to the jargon and the terminology and the language patterns of those that you are working with. That's not that type of code switching. There's nothing the matter with that, because it would be like if I go to a comic book convention and I start using slang to talk about how people talk about comic books, or if I go to a car show and I start talking about the carburetors and the pistons and all that other stuff. I'm using language that is appropriate to the audience. Okay, so that's a form of code switching. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the code switching where you are trying to obscure who you really are, meaning it's a break from your integrity. Okay, the word integrity means it's like the same root word as the word integer. So if you did elementary math and you did middle school math, you started learning about what is an integer versus what is a fraction. Remember when you got to fractions? Now, some of y'all already, your mind's turned off because she's saying math things and I hate math. Just go with me, because this is very simple. An integer is a whole number. That means it's 1 or 2 or 340. It's a entirely whole number with no decimal points, no remainders, no fractions. It is one whole complete number. Okay, that's the word integer. The word integrity and the word integer, as you can see, have the same root. What that means is that if you are a person of integrity, that means that you are representing yourself as the whole person of who you are with no hidden agendas behind it. Who you are, what you see is what you get, or what you see in one place is the same as what you will see in another place. I'm not talking about using slang or changing your language to fit your audience. I'm talking about who you are in terms of your character, how you present yourself when people are looking versus when you don't think people are looking. How do you present yourselves when you're with when you're with people that you think are for you versus people who you think are against you? Do you change based on your environment to try to make them think that you're one way when it's really something else? Maybe you're trying to put forth an image of yourself that is, you know, I'm a really mature Christian and I'm really sincere about God, but yet you have this hidden double life that if someone were to check your browser history or follow you around in a few days with a private investigator, they would see that you're a completely different person behind closed doors than what you are when you present yourself in church.
Correct.
That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying severe chameleon type code switching. I'm not saying it's just about changing your vocal patterns. It's about modifying your character to appear one way when really your integrity is lacking because you have not integrated yourself in all different scenarios. I'm the same Lady J at work as I am at the spades table on Saturday night. The only difference may be my language may be a little more relaxed at the spades table than what it would be at work, but I'm still the same person. People know that there are some things that Lady J just not going to do. Don't even ask. You know, if y'all laying out lines of cocaine in the bathroom at the party, don't ask Lady J because Lady J is not going to take no lines of cocaine. You already know that.
Nope.
Just because you know my character, not just publicly, but even people that have seen me not publicly, they know how I get down and they know what I do and what I don't do. I'll give you a prime example. One of the landlords that we had for one of our businesses said to us one time, you know, we have a lot of people that rent that I have rented to over the years, and they say they're pastors or Christians or church folks, and I've been burned so many times by people who say that they're Christians but they don't keep their word. One thing I can say about you is that you have always kept your word.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the rent was late, if you told me you were going to bring it on the 20th, you brought it on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Like for this person, this particular landlord, that was important for him to see. And it was important for me to hear because it gave me some encouragement that people are watching what you do and not just what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And he was watching to see, okay, is Lady J going to burn me like these other people that said they're Christians?
See if you're going to keep your word.
Is Lady J really a person of integrity, really a person of character, really a person of her word? Is she really going to come through when she says she's going to come through? Is she really going to keep the communication open if there's a problem with the rent? You know, so on and so on. And that may seem like a simple thing, but for him, I believe that that is a powerful witness for Christ that there is value in being committed to and being devoted to Christ, and you can see
Hallelujah.
It in a person's life how they walk their life. And there have been times I've had to apologize to the landlord. Oh man, you know, I'm sorry I didn't get this to you on time, you know, or you know, I don't know, whatever, we got a hole in the wall or something, we got to get it fixed. I don't know, I'm just saying that off the top of my head. But there have been times when I've even had to go to him and apologize or fix something or make something right. And even that all went into his assessment of my sincerity to my faith, was that he could see that in a way that nobody else could see, because I don't pay rent to everybody. I pay rent to my landlords, but everybody else out there don't know whether or not I pay my bills on time. The credit companies may think they know whether I pay my bills on time, but that's just algorithms and numbers in a system. That's not me actually doing business with an actual person, and they can say, yeah, month after month, year after year, Lady J pays her bills.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things like that that really separate us true believers from those that are just giving lip service but don't have the integrity of the faith. So whoever that's for, you know, run with that, be encouraged by that. And let's see, the last one I'm going to say about fleeing is James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's not even about you fleeing. It's about submitting yourself to God, and God will do the work to cause Satan to flee from you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it doesn't have to be all in your own strength and in your own
It's not in your strength willpower. At all.
It's under the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you submit yourself to God, He will do
resist
the work.
Resist the devil.
And He will give you what you need to resist the devil, and the devil will have no choice but to flee from you. So the verse that I was heading toward about the still small voice of the Lord, and I think this will probably be a really good place to end up. It's 1 Kings verse 19, chapter 19. We're going to go to verses 11 through 13. I might back up a verse or two ahead of that. Let me throw this up on the screen for people looking at the video. So this is, let's see, who's talking here? All right, this is Elijah. He was a prophet of God, so he was someone who was listening to the voice of God. He was a believer, okay?
Elijah with a J, right?
Elijah with a J. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start in verse 9. And he came there into a cave, and he lodged there. So he was setting up shop in a cave. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So God is talking to Elijah. And Elijah said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for all the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slaying your prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek to my life to take it away." So what he's saying is that these evil people have hurt all the other prophets and killed and ruined all the other prophets of God. And I'm the only one left. So here I am hiding in this cave. I'm hiding in this cave because it seems like the people that are really trying to live for God, man, they get messed up. And I'm the only one left, and I'm worried. And he said, now this is God saying, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, in front of the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord."
Tearing a mountain? Y'all know what a mountain is. Woo.
That's like a tornado on a mountaintop, like what they experienced in North Carolina. It says, "The great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke them in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, in his scarf, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then he continued on to have this conversation. But what I wanted to pull out from that was that there's a lot of noise in life. There's media, there's social media, there's natural disasters, there's weather, there's financial problems, there's relationship problems, there's family problems, that you're worried about who Diddy's next victim was, you're worried about who your favorite celebrity, what's going on with them. All these things are trying to just be noise in your life, just everything constantly moving. You're scrolling social media, scrolling, constantly getting those little dopamine hits. You're constantly on the go. You got TV on at night going to sleep. You turn on TV every day when you're at home. You just can't stand to be silent, can't stand to be still, because you just got so much going on, and there's all this noise, and you're trying to hear God, but you got all this noise. But what this says here in this passage, it doesn't matter if you got tornadoes, if you got mountains falling down around you, there's earthquakes, there's fires, there's all of these things happening, but at the end of the day, after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And that still, small voice can cut through all of the noise, all of the anxiety, all the depression, all of the worry, all of the fear, all of the baggage, all the trauma. That still, small voice, just because it's still and it's small, doesn't mean that it has no power. That still, small voice of God is the most powerful voice and it will cut through every bit of noise if you ask to hear it. God, I want you to speak to me. You can speak to me louder, you can speak to me soft, doesn't matter, but I want to hear your voice. And oftentimes, that still small voice is the one that cuts through all that noise, and you'll be like, that's the one, because it's different than the others. And even if you think it sounds like your own mind, it's not your own mind. It's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you sense the difference. Mm-hmm. You can sense when you're just thinking your own thoughts versus you have a thought and you take it captive and you compare it against the word and you say, that's lining up with the word.
Some people would call it intuition.
But it's even more than intuition. Sometimes yeah, you'll have a strong.
But some people, when they don't know anything else, it could start there.
It can. It can. So I just encourage you to listen, to ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. It doesn't matter how he leads and guides you. Of course, his written word is the number one means by which he gives you instructions. That's why they say the Bible is the basic instructions before mm-hmm. leaving earth, the Bible. Yes. So the instruction manual is right there. How many times have you tried it? You bought something from IKEA or wherever you bought it from. You tried to put it together without the instructions. It wasn't going. You was getting frustrated. And then you want to pull out the instructions. And after you flip past the Chinese and the French and the Spanish, you get to the English, which is the right language. And then you begin to do it step by step. And all of a sudden you're able to put that little masterpiece together. And then it's so much better because you check the instructions. That's what the Bible is there for. His written word is always going to be the number one way to lead and guide you.
There's a whole bunch of people who don't believe in reading on instructions. They would just believe they can do it and put it together, and it always...
That's a metaphor for our spiritual life, too, sometimes.
Yeah, it does, because you don't know the instructions. I put a billion of these together before I put a million of these. I put so-and-so. This is not the same one. It may not be the same one. Maybe it is, but...
So number one, if you want to know the Lord's voice, go to his written word. Number two, if you're listening for the Holy Spirit, allow him to cut through all the noise and listen, whether that voice is still small or whether it's loud and present. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you if you desire that he does.
We're in an age where you literally have to hide the word in your heart that you might not sin against God. The word says, hide the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A lot of people don't understand that there are places that are, they are communist, where you're not allowed to have an actual Bible. Am I lying? You literally have to memorize, if you will, the word of God and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against him. Because we're living in an age now, Jackie, where a lot of things are becoming communist. That if you get caught and you think it doesn't exist, but it does. It does exist. If they catch you with the Holy Word, anything like that, they're trying to off with your head. There are a lot of Muslims. There's a lot of things, and they are not nice. You hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him. That's all I got to say about that.
That's a good place to put a period for this week. Thank you so much for listening to the Mind His Business Show. If you enjoyed this, you want to hear it again, there's two different ways you can hear it again. The first way is make sure you're tuned in to our morning show Monday through Friday on 100.3 FM between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. We rebroadcast this show all throughout the week. So if there was something you liked in particular or something you didn't catch, you want to try it again, listen to the morning show. If you don't have a radio in your home or in your car or wherever you are, or maybe you're outside of range, you can download our app from the App Store. Just type in Gospel Music Omaha in either the Apple or the Android store. You can get our app. Everything that's on the radio is played simulcast on the internet radio. You can also go to the radio station website at gospelmusicomaha.com. We also simulcast our over the air broadcast on internet there. The second way you can re-listen to this broadcast is to go to our mindhisbusiness.com website. Mm-hmm. We upload these episodes each week to the website so you can listen to not only this one, but our past episodes as well. If you enjoy what it is you're listening to, stay tuned for season. I think we're going to be going into season 9 as of this recording. So come January, it'll be season 9 of this show.
We do have a show too that's before that we missed, and we will be uploading that show, so it might be season 10.
Yeah, we're gonna be right. Well, it'll be season 9 coming up next year, and mm-hmm. we got some great things coming for the Mind His Business show. So Mind His Business, make sure you're following us on all of our socials at Mind His Business. In the next season, we're going to start putting together the community around this show where we can talk about the deeper topics, deeper dive. We want to have a community where people can talk back and forth. People can be brought on to the broadcast if you have commentary that you want to add to the broadcast. So we really want to build that out. That is going to be coming for season 9, which will be coming up. So make sure you're looking out for that. If you follow us on social media at Mind His Business, we will be posting when the community aspects of this show are going to be uploaded. And we're going to really get into the deeper dive stuff. Some of the things that you, like, for example, can't post on, say, YouTube and other things. Things that are really, really deep. A lot of things that might be a little more controversial. We want to talk about all of those things. And we want to start really building a community because no person is an island. We need each other. And as these days, we see the end of days getting closer and closer every day. It's not getting farther away. It's getting closer and closer every day. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and being in community with each other so we can encourage each other in the Lord until he returns. So,
and the only thing I got to say is that, you know, when we talk about community, where there are two or three gathered in his name, even if there's just two of you, all right, that's still a gathering. Isn't that right, Jackie?
That's right.
That's still a gathering. Forsaken not to assemble yourselves together. You know, there a lot of times I've even had Bible study on the actual telephone and things of that nature. So whatever you're able to do, just be able to just move in on that and just move in the Holy Spirit on that. We love you so much.
So that's going to do it for this week. I'm Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Ciao.